And for those of you that don't know, in the back room there in the nursery, there's a little refrigerator with bottles of water. So if I make you thirsty, feel free to get one. Amen. And as he sat upon the Mount of Olives, the disciples came unto him privately, saying, "Tell us, when shall these things be, and what shall be the sign of thy coming and of the end of the world?" Jesus answered and said unto them, "Take heed that no man deceive you." Notice the first thing he said is, watch out for deception. "For many shall come in my name, saying, I am Christ, and shall, not might, but shall deceive many. And you shall hear of wars and rumors of wars. See that you be not troubled. For all these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet. For nation shall rise against nation, kingdom against kingdom. There shall be famines and pestilences and earthquakes in diverse places. All these, they're just the beginning of sorrows. Then they shall deliver you up to be afflicted, and shall kill you, and shall be hated of all nations for my name's sake. And then shall many be offended, and shall betray one another, and shall hate one another. And many false prophets again shall rise." We're living in a time that is full of false prophets. Amen. False teachings, false prophets, false prognosticators. "And because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold. But he that shall endure to the end, the same shall be saved." And going one more verse, "And the gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world for a witness unto all nations, and then shall the end come." And let's go to 1 Corinthians 15:55 before we pray. 1558, excuse me. "Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. For as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord." And with the help of the Lord today, I'd like to preach to you on the subject, don't be troubled, be steadfast. Don't be troubled, be steadfast. Brother Henry, why don't you come on up and pray and ask the blessing of the Lord, if you would be so kind.
Heavenly Father, God, we come before you right now, Lord. God, here is your messenger stand before you right now. God, I ask that you anoint him afresh right now that he speaks outside the Lord. Let's open up our ears, Heavenly Father, to receive this word today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. If you'll say in Jesus' name, you can be seated. I don't know how many of you follow the news this week, but they've got trouble in the Strait of Hormuz. You know where that is? That's where Iran's little bottleneck between Iran and Saudi Arabia and all those places there. And that's a bottleneck for oil transport. They've seized a couple of ships from the United Kingdom, and they've been taking drones and flying them at other ships and bombing them, running the drones into them, I guess, and blowing them up. And the Iranians are seeming to provoke the West into war. Don't think anything else about that. That's what they're trying to do. I'm going to tell you why. The reason the United States Navy shot down the drone this week was because drones have attacked oil tankers. They put bombs on the drones, fly them into the oil tankers or the ships, and they attack them. But why are they doing this? You ever thought about that? It's just a there's 60-some-odd million people in there, so they're only maybe a sixth of what the United States is. Why would they do something silly like that? It seems that all this current confusion and chaos is a plan to bring the return of the 12th Imam to usher in world peace. But the 12th Imam, in order to return Iran's dominant 12er sect, and apparently all of Islam has some sort of doctrine about the 12th Imam, but the Iran's dominant 12er sect believes that in order for the 12th Imam to come, that his return will have to be preceded by cosmic chaos, war, and bloodshed. So it seems that they're doing their part to bring the return of the 12th Imam. And I've heard about this for years, and all this just came to my mind with all this craziness going on this week. And after a cataclysmic confrontation with evil and darkness, the Mahdi, who they call him, will lead the world into an era of universal peace. I don't know if you realize this, but in Iran, they call the United States the Great Satan. So it's no wonder why these events are happening and why there is provocation that is taking place. And fortunately, nobody has given in to the provocation right now. In a speech to the UN a little while ago, rather than allaying concerns about Iran's nuclear ambitions, the leader of Iran spoke at length on how a Muslim savior would relieve the world's suffering. He said the era of Western predominance was drawing to a close, he said, and would soon be replaced by a bright future ushered in by the 12th Imam's return. Without any doubt, the promised one who is the ultimate savior will come. The pleasing aroma of justice will permeate the whole world. And these, of course, are not the only things that you have to be concerned with in this world. According to the Science Weekly's China and Russia are developing unstoppable hypersonic missiles to deliver nuclear payloads. It's not enough to have the missiles to shoot. They've got to develop these hypersonic missiles to try to blow up the world. And albeit it's less now, there are still people dying of hunger in this world. We still have pestilences. Ebola is active again this year. Cholera, Nipah, and the Japanese encephalitis are all pestilences that are around the world right now. And through all this, Jesus said, don't be troubled. Amen. Don't worry about it. As a matter of fact, the first concern Jesus expressed was found in verse I didn't write down the verse, but it says, take heed that no man deceive you. And later on in this discourse, he said in verse 11, many false prophets shall rise and shall deceive many. As a matter of fact, in one place he said that he was going to shorten the time so that the very elect would not be deceived. You think about it, I don't know about you, but it just seems like this year just started, and it's already almost August. It seems like that it was just January 14th when I had my operation, and already I'm recovered. It seems like just last week I filled up my, unfortunately, I've had some health problems. They've got me all kinds of blood pressure pills, and I fill those things so you don't forget, right? Anybody ever forget to take stuff? Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. Seems like every time I turn around, I'm refilling that thing. Seems like time is just going by just so quickly. And he also said in verse 12, because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall grow cold. False prophets would arise, leading people into a cold love of God. Jesus had a very unusual take on these things. He said, don't worry about in Matthew 10 and 28. He said, fear not them which kill the body, but they are not able to kill the soul, but rather fear him which is able to destroy both the soul and the body in hell. Let's face it, if you were to ask anybody, do you want to go to heaven? Everybody would say yes, of course, unless they're into some kind of satanic stuff, and they'll say, no, hell is a party, and I'm going to go to hell with my friends. But besides them, you tell people, do you want to go to heaven? Everybody says, oh, of course we want to go to heaven. But the matter of fact is, everybody wants to go to heaven, but nobody wants to die. Think about that. The truth of the matter is that this physical body we now reside in is just a temporary home. Don't get too settled inside of it. Because at some point in time, this body will return to the dust from whence it came. But it's the soul itself which is eternal. We are created, the scripture says, after the image of God. Genesis 1:27. It says, so God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him. Male and female created he them. God is a spirit. A spirit has not flesh and bones. Our soul does not have flesh and bones. And this is why we are created in the image of God. We're not created in the image, the physical image of God, but in the spiritual image of God. Now, don't go thinking that you're going to be like the Mormons and you're going to go get to be God over your own world. We're never going to be God. We're never going to have that kind of power. We're not little gods. So don't even think about that stuff. You got a lot of the New Age teaching teaches us about godhood, if you listen to that kind of hokey stuff. And we will never be God, but we are made in the image of God, in the spiritual image of God. None of us wants to end our time as a casualty of war. But Jesus said, don't worry about the ones that have the power to destroy the body. Nobody wants to die of sickness, be a casualty of pestilence or a casualty of an earthquake or any of the end time prophecy disasters. And he said, don't be troubled about that. Amen. He said in John 14:1, so let not your heart be troubled, neither be afraid. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go to prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself. Now, in the scripture, in the book of Revelation, it says, I, John, was on a high mountain. And I looked down upon the city of Jerusalem, descending out of heaven, adorned from God. And I don't know, that was after the creation of the new heaven and the new earth. Apparently the earth is going to be bigger because he could look down on that new Jerusalem. New Jerusalem is going to be about 1,500 miles wide, 1,500 miles deep, and 1,500 miles high. So that was probably going to be some big mountain that was going to be there. There's going to be a recreation of the heaven and the earth. And this world and this body and all the things that we have, you may have a nice home, you may have a beautiful home, but one day, according to the word of God, it's going to be destroyed by fire. You might have a fine car, but one day it's going to be nothing but rubble, because the things that we know in this world are going to be torn down and are going to be destroyed, along with all the fear and with all the sickness and all the pestilence and all the war and all those crazy things that are happening now. He said, don't worry about those kind of things. Just worry about the one that has power over your soul. And the Lord is the one that has power over my soul. Amen. My walk with God is essential to my eternal home. And it doesn't matter what people say about me. It doesn't matter anything. The only thing, you know, you're really not what people say you are. And you're not what people think you are. You're not what you think you are. You are only what God thinks you are. And we cannot afford to worry about people dragging us down and keeping us from living for God. Unfortunately, as I've said before, my own parents stood against me in my living for God. And I had to stand up and tell them, straight out of the book of Joshua, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. And I told my mom and dad one day in a middle meeting, I said, you don't have to live for God if you don't want to live for God. That is your personal choice. But as for me and my family, we are going to live for God. And all these years, we have lived for the Lord. We have walked with the Lord. May not have been entirely perfect, may not have been 100% exactly what the Lord wanted me to be, but I'm a work in progress, and so are you. Amen. But progress we must make. He said, don't worry about those that can kill the body. He said, worry about the false prophets who can and will deceive many. We have to make sure that we do not walk a path of deception, deceived away from the simpleness that's in the Word of God. One of the people concerned themselves about the supposed lost books of the Bible, and one of the goofiest things that I read recently was in the supposed book of Enoch, and I say supposed because it wasn't written by Enoch, where in one place it tells you that the dead righteous, the righteous dead, they're in hell awaiting Jesus to come down and take them out of hell, or awaiting God to come down and take them out of hell. And in another place, it says that the sinners are in our mansions right now, occupying them until they're put out of them. So in essence, the book of Enoch implies the righteous are suffering hellfire while the sinners are enjoying our mansions. That's all messed up. That's why I said one of the goofiest things, supposed lost book. But it's a great example of false prophecy. You can get yourself so caught up with false books of the Bible and conspiracy theories that abound that you yourself become drawn away from truth into error. Be careful what you watch. Be careful what you allow in your mind, because it can draw you away from the simple truths that are found in the Word of God. There are four basic truths of the Bible that we cannot afford to stray from. The first one is found in Deuteronomy chapter 6 and verse 4. He says, hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. And thou shalt love the Lord with all thy heart and with all thy soul and with all thy might. And these words which I command thee this day shall be in thy heart. Now, when you talk about loving the Lord with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your might, do a very serious evaluate yourself. Do we love the Lord with all our heart and with all our might and with all our strength? Or are we playing games with the Lord? Lord, I only love you so much, I can't love you any more than this. Lord, I can only give this much, but I can't give any more. You say, well, you're making it about giving. I tell you what, the reason the Lord asks us to give is not because he needs the money. We need the freedom. Amen. We need the blessing. We need to see that money is not the God of our life. And when you make money the God of your life, now I know that there are preachers out there, they abuse this thing, and they really abuse it. I saw a funny picture on the internet yesterday of one of these prosperity preachers saying, I'm going to tell you about the greatest nation in the world is called donation. Unfortunately, they probably actually think that. But the Lord knows when he told the rich man, he said, sell all you have and give it to the poor. He wasn't meaning for everyone to sell all they have and give it to the poor. He knew the thing that was going to keep that man from being saved, keep that man from the streets of glory, was his love of riches. Your love of riches will destroy you eventually. You may have a great life. You may have a wonderful life. You may have houses and you may have cars and you may have things. But like I said, one day you're going to leave everything behind. One day you're going to be like this guy I heard about. He wanted all his money to be buried in the coffin with him. And the executor of the will was approached at the funeral. He said, I sure hope you didn't put all that money in the coffin with him. And he says, I sure did. I wrote him a check. Because you cannot take it with you. You can't. I don't care how much money you have, how many toys you have. If they, you know, there's a thing among men. They say the one with the most toys at the end wins. Does not. The one with the best walk of God, the great walk with the Lord, that's the one that's going to win, because there's going to be a mansion prepared for him. And that mansion doesn't have to be bought by money. You can be poor and the Lord will give you a mansion. You can be rich and the Lord will give you a mansion. If you're living for him, if you're walking with him, he will give these things to you in the afterlife. Amen. But the things that you withhold from God will curse you in this life. Amen. You've got to love him with all your heart. You've got to love him with all your soul. And you've got to love him with all your strength. And not only that, he says, thou shalt teach them diligently to thy children. And shall talk of them when you sit in the house, and when you walk by the way, and when you lie down and you rise. How many of us talk to our children about the one God? Talk to us about, hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one. It would behoove you to do that, to diligently teach your children about the ways of God. Amen. Are we doing that? Number two, this is the second thing that you cannot afford to stray from. John chapter 3, the first 8 verses. There was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. The same came to Jesus by night and said unto him, Rabbi! Now, if you know about Nicodemus, Nicodemus was the number two Bible, what we would call the number two Bible scholar in the city of Jerusalem at that time. He was a very high-statured man, and he came to Jesus at night. Why did he come to Jesus at night? He didn't want anybody to see him. Amen. He was ashamed in one portion to see him, but later on we find out that he may have actually converted to Christianity. But he says, Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher come from God, for no man can do these miracles that thou doest, except God be with him. Jesus answered and said unto him, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man is born again, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. And everybody says, what's all this born again stuff? Nicodemus said unto him, how can a man be born when he is old? He's still talking about this. They still like that. Well, born again, let's see. I knew I was born again because I felt a warm spirit, because I felt something good because of this, because of that. You got to go the Bible way, my friend. You've got to go the way of the word of the Lord. Jesus answered and said, I say unto you, except a man is born of the water and of the spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. That which is born of flesh is flesh. That which is born of spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I said unto you that you must be born again. The wind blows where it wants to, where it listeth. You hear the sound thereof. You cannot tell where it comes from and where it goes. So is everyone that is born of the Spirit. He said there's got to be a new birth of the Spirit. And by the birth of the Spirit, there was going to be a sound that was going to accompany the birth of the Spirit. It's not enough to be born again of the Spirit. You've also got to be born again of the water. When a child is born, it breaks its mother's water. And when the doctor slaps that baby on the rear end, it's called the breath of life. And that child, if it does not cry and does not have a spirit, it is stillborn. Your experience is stillborn if you've got the Holy Ghost and you've never been baptized in water, never been had the name of Jesus called over you. You're stillborn if you've been baptized in Jesus' name but haven't received the gift of the Holy Ghost yet, because it's born again of the water, born again of the Spirit, in order to see the kingdom of God. Number three, what agreement? 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 16 and 17. What agreement has the temple of God with idols? For you are the temple of the living God. We're in a beautiful church building. This is not the temple. We could be in a broke down storefront or in a basement of a house, and it would still be our meeting place with the Lord. Why is that? Because we're the temple of God. The Holy Ghost dwells in us. We bring the presence of the Lord with us. So if you come to church and you say, it's dead, it's dry, it's boring, you know what? All you've done is you have indicted yourself, because you ain't brung enough Holy Ghost with you. Oh, Lord, help me. Help me, Lord. Amen. It only takes one branch to set a fire. One little brush to set a fire. Amen. Will you be that branch or that brush? And let a fire be set in the church because of your walk with the Lord. Amen. But he also said, God has said, I will dwell in them. I'm going to walk with them. I will be their God. They shall be my people. Wherefore come out from among them and be ye separate, saith the Lord. Touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you. This is a lot of people, they want to go happy clappy with Jesus, but they do not want to live a separated, holy life unto the Lord. In the book of Peter, it says, this is why you got to follow all manner of holy conversation, because the Lord has said, be ye holy, for I am holy. Amen. You say, well, the Holy Ghost is holy. He makes us holy. Let me tell you something about the Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost is to lead you and guide you into all truth. This is why if a person has the Holy Ghost, they may feel that tugging that says, I ought not to be doing this. I ought not to be watching this. I ought not to be saying this. Because that Holy Ghost is trying to impart to you some of the holiness of God. And when you resist the Holy Ghost, you find that you're no better than the Israelites in the book of Exodus, when they always resist the Holy Ghost. In the book of Hebrews, it says, they always were stiff-necked, circumcised of heart. They were always stubborn. Don't be stubborn with the Holy Ghost. Let the Spirit of the Lord find a soft and a tender heart inside of you, that He can talk to you, that He can change you, that He can mold you, that He can make you what you ought to be. Stop resisting the Holy Ghost. He said, the fourth thing. This is another place where people tend to err. He said, I'm no more in the world, but these are in the world. I come to thee, Holy Father. Keep them through thy own name. Those whom thou hast given me, that they may be one. I preached just a couple of weeks ago. God still chooses the church. There's a bunch of people in this world. They think they're part of the body of Christ, and they don't have to be part of any church because they are the body of Christ. Well, let me tell you something. A body works together. My fingers have to grasp my wallet to pull it out of my pocket. If I got a finger over there, and I got a finger over there, and I got a finger over there, and I got a finger over there all over the place, what do I got to work with? Nothing. Absolutely nothing. Where would you be if your feet were off somewhere else doing their own thing? Or if your knees were off doing their own thing? Can you imagine walking without knees? Let's see. I don't know. I can't walk without bending my knees. Can you walk, Daisy, without bending your knees? I don't think it's possible to walk with. I go like this. Let's see. Whack, whack, whack. My knee's off over there. My other knee's off. Oh, no, still bent it. Still bent it. I couldn't even get down. You cannot accomplish the things that the body wants to accomplish while the parts of the body are off doing their own thing. Amen. Simon Peter answered in Matthew 16 and 16. Jesus said, "Who do you say that I am?" And Simon Peter answered and said, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." And Jesus answered and said unto him, "Blessed art thou, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood has not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. And this I also say unto thee, thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church." The church are the called out ones, but they're called out to gather together. They're not called out. If you're watching on the internet today, God bless you, but you need to be in church, in a church. If you're not able to be here, you need to be somewhere. Just sitting around watching videos on the internet is not going to find you in the will of God. It is the will of God to be involved in a church. It is the will of God for you to gather yourself with people. Say, how do you know that? Jesus said you never had to be in church. Well, you look at the scripture. You look at the scripture. And let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, as so much more as you see the day approaching. You cannot be off by yourself doing your own thing and being in the will of God. He said, don't act like some people that I know, because they're just putting aside the gathering together. They're just letting it go astray. They're just putting it, it's real easy, isn't it? Anybody ever get up on Sunday morning and, man, you're tired? I don't feel like getting up this morning. I'll be honest, I didn't feel like getting up this morning either. 6:30 come along and I was like, I don't want to get up today. But what did I do? I said, feet don't fail me now. You get off of this bed, you get into the shower, you take yourself a shower, and you get yourself dressed and you head to the church. It's hot out. It's miserable out today. But if you weren't in the house of the Lord, where would you be? You'd be like, well, you know what? This would be a good day to go to the beach. It's amazing all the things that people can find to do outside. Go to the mall, because the mall is cool. Yeah. Go eat some ice cream. Yeah, some nice cold ice cream. That'd be awesome. That'd be wonderful. But you rob yourself of the blessing of being in the house of the Lord. He said, don't forsake the assembling of yourselves together as the manner of some is. But he said, as you see the day approaching, as you, I didn't put it down there, but as you see the day approaching. Oh, yes, I did. What am I talking about? It's right in front. Okay, any of you ever read anything wrong, you're forgiven. But exhorting one another so much the more as you see the day approaching. Do you see the day approaching? What is that day? He's talking about the day of the coming of the Lord. The day of the tribulation. You know, there's some argument, you know, the church is going to go before, the church is going to go in the middle, the church is going to go afterwards. But let me tell you something. The church is going to go. Church is going to go. I believe the church is going to go before. Why would Jesus say, pray that you be found worthy to escape all these things if we had to go through it? Just very simple thing. But here's the thing. We're going to go. Or at least the church is going to go. You know, the church is predestined for victory. The only problem is you're not predestined to be in the church. Jesus said, whosoever will, let him drink of the waters of life freely. Brother Rick, why don't you go find my wife, tell her to come out, please. Now, Scripture teaches that Christians are to gather together for a specific purpose of worship and ministry. This may seem like a cliche, but God actually commands you not to neglect public worship. The Christian that takes God's word seriously and really, really, is there any other kind? Can a true Christian not take the word of God seriously? Or did they leave their true Christianity behind when they act flippant towards the word of God? I think what happens is when you resist the Holy Ghost, the Bible talks about, you know, 2 Corinthians 4:3-5, it says, for our gospel is hid, it's hid to them that are lost, and the God of this world has blinded the minds of those that believe not. Now, the Scripture also says, faith without works is dead. So I think that like where it said, if you believe not, gospel is hid to them that believe not, in whom the God of this world is blind the minds of them that believe not. Spiritual blindness comes through not believing the word. And the only answer I found for a cure, there's no prayer I can pray now. The cure to spiritual blindness is found in a decision inside your heart. Where you choose, you make a decision, I'm going to believe the word of God. It's the only answer I have as to how do you cure spiritual blindness. But the apostle Paul, or Peter, James said, show me your faith without your works, or show me your faith without your actions, and I will show you my faith by my actions. You can't play patty cake with Jesus and be considered a serious child of God. And really, is there any other kind of child of God to be? Someone that's serious. Someone that really allows the Lord to work on them, to touch their heart, to touch their mind, to touch their spirit. In another place, he says, my mark is upon those that sigh and cry. We have got to let the Holy Ghost move upon us. We can't afford to be rigid. We can't afford to be hard-hearted. We have to allow the Holy Ghost to move on us. So the Christian that takes God's word seriously will notice that that scripture we read in Hebrews, that there was some that neglected the gathering together of the church, and that Christians should not neglect those gatherings. Rather, they should be encouraging one another. Did you know, just as much, you know, a lot of church is kind of encouraging, discouraging. When you look around and you see, well, this one's not here and that one's not here. And by the way, we've got a few families on vacation today. You can get discouraged. You can say, well, I'm discouraged because I don't see this one. I don't see that one. And then when you see another one come in, you get encouraged. A lot of this has to do with a battle of the mind. Because this is where the scripture we read at first comes in. He said, be unmovable. What do you mean unmovable? I don't care who's living for God and who's not living for God. I'm going to live for God. I don't care who's in church, who's not in church. I don't care who backslid. I don't care who's acting stupid. I don't care who's acting all weird. I'm still going to serve the Lord because I am going to be steadfast. Be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. Don't think that you just being in church has nothing to do with the work of the Lord, because it has a lot to do with the work of the Lord. Your very presence encourages, or lack of presence discourages, those that are not unmovable and steadfast. And if you're not unmovable and steadfast, you need to get in the place where you're like a rock, where it doesn't matter what happens, that you're going to live for God. Doesn't matter what this one does. Doesn't matter what that one says. You're going to live for God. How about you today? Will you be steadfast? Will you be immovable? Will you adhere to those four unmovable things that I talked about? The oneness of God. And by the way, Jesus is God manifest in the flesh. Amen. The Father did not look at the Son with teary eyes and say, Son, I love those people so much, being two people. And Son, I love those people so much, I'm going to let the bird, the Holy Ghost, fly you down there and die for them. It's not what happened. The Bible says, behold, great is the mystery of godliness, for God was manifest in the flesh. God was justified in the Spirit. God was seen of angels. God preached unto the Gentiles. 1 Timothy 3:16. God was received up into glory. You say, well, if you believe that Jesus is the mighty God, isn't the Father receiving himself up into his own kingdom? Well, the scripture says, and God was received up into glory. It also says in Isaiah chapter 9 and verse 6, he says, unto us a son is born, unto us a child is given. The government shall be upon his shoulders. His name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God. Is it possible for a child to be the everlasting Father if you understand that God is a spirit and that the Spirit manifested himself in the flesh of Jesus Christ for our salvation? It wasn't a third person or a second person, first person in the Holy Trinity, looking at the second person in the Holy Trinity, crying because they had to die for them. It's not what happened. One of those immovable things in the Word of God. The second one was being born again. You got to be born again of the water and the Spirit. If you've never gone down in the waters of baptism in Jesus' name, let me tell you something. Matthew 28:19 says, Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. Let me ask you, what's the name? Very simply, what's the name? If you've never had the name of Jesus called over you in the waters of baptism, you need to have the name of Jesus called over you in the waters of baptism. And also, by the way, the Bible says in Acts 2:38, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of your sin, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. So before baptism, repentance is necessary. If you don't repent before you're baptized, you go down a dry sinner and you come up a wet sinner. I don't care if they call the name of Jesus over you, because there's no repentance involved. Repentance will lead to a changed life. It will lead to a changed heart. And once you've been baptized, now people have gotten the Holy Ghost and then got baptized, and people have gotten baptized and got the Holy Ghost. If you're struggling with receiving the Holy Ghost, get baptized in Jesus' name, because he can fill you with the Holy Ghost. The promise is yours after that. Not promised before that. It's promised after that. Third one is being a separated people. Don't be ashamed to be a Christian. Don't be ashamed for people to look at you and say, there's something different about you. Men don't have that much of it. Although men are starting to have a tough time, because men are wearing earrings. They got makeup for men now. They got sissy looking clothes for men now. You know what I mean, Brother Henry? You got guys going out there and you're like, what in the world is the matter with them? They look like a girl. Yeah, so it's getting harder on the men. Not hard on me. They don't like it. Tough luck. They're wanting to sell mantyhose now. Pantyhose for men. Ain't never going to happen in my life. Never. They got dresses for men. Ain't never going to happen. Not going to happen. I'll wear my suit. I'll wear clothes like this. I'll wear a suit jacket. I'll wear my work clothes. You'll know I'm a man. Amen. They're trying for the men. Ladies is a little harder on. Boy, the ladies, they'll look at you and say, you know, you look awful holy, don't you? Don't you? Maybe you should cut your hair. Maybe you should dye it. Maybe you should dye your hair. Maybe you should be all fake. No. Talks about the marks of a godly woman or a pure spirit. Amen. Don't allow this world to change you. Be unmovable. Be steadfast. And finally, number four, be in church. Do not let the devil lie to you and tell you, you know what? It's all right if I... Now, I understand we got people at work and long distances and stuff, but if you can be here in midweek Bible study, you need to be here. Amen. Because the devil will lie to you, and he will try to slowly get you out of the door. Little by little, he'll try to slowly get you out of the door. And you think you're a church all to yourself. Well, let me tell you something. You ain't no church all to yourself. The Bible says in Jeremiah 3:15, I believe it is, it says, I will give you pastors after my own heart. There is a place for a pastor in your life. And let me tell you something. A pastor is not a pastor unless they can speak to you and rebuke you if they have to. And you listen. That went over like a lead balloon. But it's the truth. Jesus said, why do you call me Lord and do not the things that I tell you? Well, why do you call me pastor and do not the things I admonish you? Same thing. Amen. It's either amen or oh my or oh me or something like that. Four things we got to worry about. Mighty God, born again of the water and the Spirit. Let me tell you something. It's not good enough to have talked in tongues one time. He tells us in Titus chapter 3 and 5, he saves us through the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost. Don't stop praying till you know, this is Pentecostal language now. We got a thing we call praying through. What is praying through? You pray until you get that first experience again, till you talk in tongues again. Not faking it now. You can fake in tongues. You can fake it. Plenty of people can fake it. Had a drunk come in one night and said, "I can speak in tongues." And he went off blathering. I think, Brother Rick, that was the night that you lifted him up and threw him out too, because he was cursing up a storm. Some things you can't tolerate. Give us clean hands. Give us pure hearts. Let's all stand. Why don't you find a place? Come talk to the Lord. Give us clean hands.
Give us pure hearts.
Don't be troubled.
Let us not
be steadfast. Unmovable. Always abounding in the work of the Lord.
Give us clean hands. Give us pure hearts. Let us not lift our soul to another. Give us clean hands. Give us pure hearts. Let us not lift our soul to another. We bow our hearts, we bend our knee. O Spirit, come make us humble. We turn our eyes to evil things. O Lord, we cast down our idols. So give us clean hands, give us pure hearts. Let us not soul to another. Give us clean hands. Give us pure hearts. Let us not lift our soul to another. Give us clean hands. Give us pure hearts. Let us not lift our soul to another. Give us clean hands. Give us pure hearts. Let us not lift our soul to another. Oh God, let us be a generation that seeks, who seeks your face. Oh God of Jacob. Oh God, let us be a generation that seeks, that seeks your face.
Is going to sing a little more. God bless you for being in the house of the Lord. We can pray still. And when you're through, you can be through.
Come breathe in me and
altar is open, as you know.
All my life,
don't hesitate.
Take over.
Come and present yourself unto God.
Come breathe in me.
And he's still in his house.
Rise.
He hasn't forsaken you yet. He hasn't leave you. And never will he leave you, but you will leave him.
Here
because
I
of our deeds and our actions.
Abide in me, I pray.
Come and spend a little time in his presence this evening before you
here
go home.
I am longing.
I urge you to come
for you
and spend some time with him. Open your heart unto him this day.
Hide me in your love. Bring me to
yes,
my knees.
It is a place that I have to be, Lord. It is a place
May
that I should
know
be,
Jesus,
Lord. On my knees in your presence, O God. Seeking thy face and loving thee, O Lord. Lifting up my heart
Come
and my voice unto thee, O God. Calling on that beautiful
life,
name, Jesus. Calling on that name, Lord. That holy, that righteous
Come
name, that glorious name, O Lord. That I may find peace and salvation in my life. That I may find you, O God, in your word and abided in me, O Lord.
All my life,
yes, Lord. Hear my prayer, hear my cry, Lord. Come in me, Lord, come. Live in me, Lord, as your word have said, Lord. That you would dwell in us, Lord. You will be in us, O God. That you will walk in us, Jesus. Not only that.
Here I am.
That you would walk
me,
in us, Lord.
Pray. Here I am longing for you.
Reach out and touch the Lord. Open your heart unto him.
Hide
He's still searching
your
for your heart. He's still searching your heart.
Bring
today.
Me to my knees.
May I know
Jesus. Search my heart, Lord. Look deep inside of me, God. There's things that are still bothering me, Lord. There's still that I'm still struggling with, oh God. Help me to have the victory over these situations in my life, oh Lord. Break this bondage, oh God, Jesus. Break the bondage, oh Lord, that I am struggling with, oh God. I need you. Help me to hold your hand, Lord. I know that you are reaching towards me, God. You are reaching and you are looking in my direction, oh God. For you said, Lord, that you must go my way, Lord. You must come my way. It is your desire, oh Lord. Help me, Lord. Help me, Lord. Jesus, I love. Jesus, I praise you. I give you all the glory and honor.
All the praise, Lord. All the praise to thee, Lord. All the praise. All the glory that I have, Lord. I give it to you, O Lord. I lift up your name.
Glory and honor unto your name. I give you all the praise. I give you all
Glory
and honor unto your name.
Yes, Lord.
Jesus, I love you.
Rejoice in the presence of the Lord today.
Jesus, I praise you. I give you all the glory and honor. Give you all the praise.
Glory.
I give you all the glory. I give you all the
Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word of light, of instruction, of guidance, your word of joy and peace, Lord, your word of knowledge and wisdom, O God, Jesus. We thank you for it, Lord. We thank you for what we felt today, your Holy Spirit in our presence today, O God. We thank you for the deliverance, the healing. We thank you for the forgiveness. We thank you for the blessing that you showered on your children today, O Lord. But Father, I pray that you, that they keep these things, what they heard and what they received today with them, Lord. Have them in this coming week, O God, as they stand on their own, O God. But we know that we're not by ourselves, God, for you dwell in us and you walk in us, Lord, according to thy word. And when you pray, Lord, you said that you and us will, that we will be one in thee, Lord. And we thank you, God, for all these love that you shed for us, Lord, that you give unto us also. We thank you for the mercy that you shed about us, Lord, so freely, O Lord, without hesitation, Lord, you sent forth your mercy towards us. We thank you for it, Lord. But let us remember you in all things. Let us remember you in giving and in praising you, Lord, and thanking you all the days of our life, Lord. For, oh God, where shall we go? To whom shall we go? We can only come to you, Lord, in the time of sorrow, in the time of joy, in the time of happiness also. We come to you, God, for there is no other place where we should, would go, Lord. There is no other one, Lord. You are the true shepherd. You are the true shepherd, Lord.